I had some issues yesterday when we were recording dinner with a movie. I had to reschedule because the internet was so bad. But
Jesus, yours or others?
That was mine. I didn't bring my Ethernet cord here.
Gotcha.
So my bad. But now I have my Ethernet, so we're good now.
I see.
Nice.
Yeah. Brad, tell me about how your gaming experience has been affected by this cruel event.
You are both broken, correct?
Yeah, we're both broken.
We're looking a little worse for wear.
Yeah, because we didn't mention last time that I was going to be... That the reason we didn't do it last week was because I was having some excellent ankle surgery. I'm having some excellent ankle recovery now. So, yeah, it's been a good time. And Brad, you're having a...
I'm having
a bad time.
Yeah, I'm going into surgery tomorrow.
Oof.
What are the details on? Do you know the details of the surgery?
In terms of what?
Like, where are the? What are you being put out? How long it's taken?
I don't know the length of the surgery. I know when it starts. I know when I gotta be there, and I know about how big of a cut the guy's making.
Right.
It's like base of my collarbone to the back of my shoulder.
Dang. At least it's going to be a sweet scar. So any lady you bring over is going to be thinking, ooh, I got man who's been in a, you got to say it's been a knife fight.
Yeah. You know, I've been
a knife fight.
Yeah.
On the slopes.
I'll take a little razor and add some rough edges to it so it doesn't look clean anymore. So it looks super rugged.
You got to say you had a James Bond-esque, down the ski slopes as you're fighting someone at the same time. That's what happened. I remember I fractured my wrist snowboarding, and I kind of did the same thing. What I was just saying, basically what I did is I was snowboarding by myself. My dad was with his buddies doing whatever. And I was Dad, I want to go on a slope myself. And I was going down and I saw this little ramp. And I thought maybe I could go up it. And then when I was going towards it at the slowest speeds, I realized, no, this isn't a good idea. I went up on the very corner of the ramp, on the backside of the ramp. So I didn't even go off the top part. It was the most shallow part where it just kind of dips off on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up there and I just slipped. It was such a small fall, and I fractured my wrist. And I told my dad someone shoved me.
Couldn't live with the shame.
This was in sixth grade. I finished the slope, and I said, Dad, but someone, I was going, and I was near a ramp, and someone just came over, and they pushed me, and... Dude, I was such a fucking lying piece of shit. I wonder if my dad believed me. I don't even know.
No, dude, I broke my ankle at a fucking skate park when I was probably 13 or 12. No, I had to be older than that. I was probably 14, but I was going up a ramp, and here's what happened. It's a tiny skate park, and I'm 15 or 14, and I'm going up this ramp, and I hop off. I jump off the bike because I don't have enough speed to go up the ramp, and I'm going to fall. So I hop off my bike, and when I land on my ankle, and it breaks my ankle.
Ooh.
So I literally just hopped off the bike and stood up, and I just broke my ankle, and I was fuck, okay, okay. And I'm hopping it off, and these kids that are probably 9 years old, I think, they walk in, and they're walk it off, pussy. And I'm oh shit, and my friend was with me.
Then you have to prove yourself.
Yeah, my friend was with me, and I was just okay, there's no way that I seriously injured myself just hopping off my bike, and I couldn't stand on it. It was just completely useless. And my buddy had to, we had two bikes, and I was sitting on my bike, and he had to push me and then run back to his bike and ride really far and then run over to me and then push me, and we did that all the way home. That's great.
Very nice. You got there, though.
That sucks. Yeah. That's a true measure of teamwork and friendship.
Yeah, my goodness.
And I feel like that's the most embarrassing place because you're among all your peers. You're among all the people you're trying to impress.
No, it was pretty empty just when those kids showed up.
Oh, no, Brad. Did you just sneeze?
Oh, yeah. You can't even sneeze without it. Oh, that sucks.
No, yeah, sneezes have been probably the worst, passive bodily function.
Yeah.
That just...
Oh, fuck.
Just forces you to jolt your body real quick.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, two questions to get this moving on. One, are you going to be out for the surgery? Are they going to put you out?
Yeah.
And okay, great. And then two, how has this affected your masturbatory patterns? And also, how has it affected your gaming patterns?
Much more so at the beginning for both of those questions.
You really got to work for it.
Yeah, it was, I couldn't play anything at first because, like, I could move my arm at the wrist, but even still that hurt. But now I can move, like, at the wrist and kind of at the elbow pretty freely as long as I don't move around the shouldery area. So that's both allowed me to be able to set a controller into my right hand and then be able to play games and much more easily remove my clothes and, to do what I need to do.
I appreciate the struggle, Brad.
That's rough. I do not envy that.
It's a commitment.
At least my ankle doesn't do either of those. In fact, it improves both of them. It makes me have to do it more, essentially.
Can't get your rocks off any other way.
Yeah, yeah. So what have you been playing, Brad, now that you can actually
Bravely
use
Default
your hand?
2. That was honestly probably the most hyped thing that I saw at Nintendo Direct because I completely forgot that it was coming out. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not blowing me away, but it's basically the first game again. And I'm not against that.
Okay. If it's not blowing you away, is it still pushing the hype right now? Or has that faded?
I'm still somewhat hyped, but mainly just for like, I think the way they implemented the like job system into this one works better because I think you progress. Before it felt like you had to, because the whole thing is you have like your main job and then you have a sub job. So your main job, right? Sets what you do. You get some other benefits, but your sub job, you keep all of the abilities from whatever level you got it to. In the original, I felt like the jobs progressed so slowly, it was really hard to mix and match without grinding a shitload. But in this one, I'm just kind of playing through the story, and I have a few of the jobs quite high up in their levels on almost every character, so I feel like I have a lot more to play around with without having to be like, okay, I gotta stop my whole game, grind, then I can go back and play.
So the jobs are just a way to get like experience and currency?
The jobs are like a secondary experience. You have like your character level and then you have your job level.
Okay. Is it like the real world where you have your work friends and your real life friends?
No. You just have one group of friends and then they put on lots of different clothes and costumes depending on what they're doing. It's adorable.
Nice. Are any of the jobs like really unique or are they just kind of...
They tend to get a little more out there as you get down the road. Like in the last one, they had a performer, and which was like a diva looking one. There was like a Hextech gunner thing, if I remember right. I might be getting mixed up with Final Fantasy now, but
I like the summoner. I wish I had a stronger summoner. That's really sick.
No, Dad.
Is there enough variety in the second game? Because you were saying it sounded
Sorry, Dad's
really
trying
similar.
To call me, but I said no.
Is there
Dad doesn't
enough
get its
variety
podcast time.
In the second game compared to the first one? Because you said it was too similar to the first game.
Similar it is it's like your main character knows very little about himself and has, for the most part, amnesia. He meets a girl who has like a religious destiny tied to these crystals across the kingdom. You bump into a pair. Actually, okay, in the first one they join separately, but they know each other before you meet them, so they're still a pair. You meet a quirky guy and a hot-headed girl who join your party, and then you go from a portside kingdom and you go and adventure around and find out that someone in the royal family is working against you, and you fight them, and then you go to a desert area. And I'm in the desert area right now, but literally everything I just said is the same between the first two games.
It sounds like you're describing the first game, because I only played the first game.
Yeah, like...
That's pretty bad.
That's that's where I'm like, it feels like a template they just kind of filled back out, which I'm not against. It's a really good template, but it's
hopefully it's all in the setup, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully it kind of changes a bit from then on.
Mm-hmm. The jobs have been coming way faster than I remember them coming in the first game. I remember them being way more spread out. So I'm curious if this one will either have more or at least give you them earlier so you can play around with them quite a bit more, because there were a few classes that you didn't get until like literally right before some of the last battles, so you didn't have any job points, so if you wanted to use them you had to go grind.
If I were to pick up either of them, you think at this point I should start with one or just go straight to two?
I think you can play either. Kind of, yeah. whatever your preference is, and you'll probably be able to get the first one cheaper, so you can try out and be like, okay, do I like this setup? But the combat style for that game is, it makes turn-based combat in such a unique way, and I love it. Do you know how it works?
I think you described it a couple weeks ago.
Okay,
In that you get to save your turns,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah, and then you
did
can
they
go
change
into, like,
that at all, or is that kind of the same?
That's pretty much the same, but they changed how like turn order works, because before you would essentially tell your whole team what to do, and then like the speed of everything would just kind of play out for the turn. So like everybody who's faster would just kind of go do their thing, execute all actions. In this, it's like, it's closer to, I think it's Final Fantasy IV, where there's like that bar that fills up based on your speed, and then when the bar is filled, you take an action. And then the same is true for enemies. So you can have like enemies taking two or three actions or vice versa in between your turns.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds cool. I just finished Persona 5, and that's the only recent JRPG experience I've had.
A very good one.
Yeah, and thinking of that after that makes me want to get into more of it. And there's so many classics and new ones that I need to be hopping on. So I might hop on a Bravely Default if that's a highly recommended take.
I want to get a little bit farther in it before I'd give it highly recommended, but I think the combat...
Well, at least the first one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can definitely highly recommend the first one, because follow-through for the story on the first one is gold.
Do you know if it's the same team? Like, the same exact team?
I don't, actually. I know it was Square who did the first one, but I don't know any of the, like, smaller teams, because normally those are the ones who actually do the work kind of thing.
Right,
Square's just publishing.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep us updated on that. I'm curious how it evolves, and if I hope it branches off, because that would be a shame if it just kind of feels like a lazy shoe-in of like, oh, it's the same story, same people. The quirky guy, the hot-headed women.
The only way I can see them turning that around is turning it into some sort of multiverse thing. That's
I'm kind of down.
Way.
Well, yeah, yeah, I could be down for that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything.
A tiptoeing around spoilers sort of thing.
No, yes. We'll see what happens. See what happens.
Okay.
What have you been playing, Blake?
A decent amount. I mean, I've been on my butt for the last week. So I've been pretty much doing nothing but playing games. Finished all of Persona 5 Royal. Had a really good time. It's weird. The ending of that was both. I felt like it should never end, and I wanted it to keep going forever, and I didn't want to stop playing, but I also felt like it overstayed its welcome by a little bit.
Interesting.
I can see that.
If that makes sense. I think it's because the way the confidants work and the way your time works with building your skills and spending time with people, by the last two palaces, those are pretty much all the people I care about are pretty much done. I've leveled up all my skills. The stories that I'm interacting with aren't exactly particularly interesting. I've already done like the cycle of buying stuff and building my personas for literally 100 hours. So it's just kind of like, I want this story to continue and I want to continue interacting with these people, but all the confidants, that the time that I'm spending outside of the palaces, which used to be my favorite part of the game, has essentially used up all the fun stuff.
So they're just trying to get you to the end of the game.
Right, yeah, and it makes sense, because it's like, oh, yeah, you have to spend this time, but the way that the end of the game is structured, it's you don't have, like, in the beginning half of Palaces, you're in the palace in school, but the last two palaces, it's more like so much shit is happening. You can't go to school. You can't like do certain things. Mm-hmm. So it breaks that up a little bit. And I think it does feel like, okay, now you have like maybe a few days to talk to your confidants right now, but then you don't know if you're ever going to be able to talk to them again. And it feels like, it's not bad. It just, definitely feels like the end of the game, and the outside palace stuff gets less interesting, which was my favorite part. So I think that's not really a criticism, but it was a shame that that's how it ended up feeling.
Gotcha.
But yeah, fantastic game. I love it.
You would recommend?
How did you like the extra chapter?
Great. Yeah. I thought it was a really good chapter. Mm-hmm. I was kind of taken by surprise when it happened, and I was surprised that that's what the extra chapter was, because it's pretty substantial, but then it's also not in the same way.
Yeah, it goes pretty quickly, but there's a lot that happens. It's very dense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great. And I liked the quote-unquote villain of that one as well. Yeah, all the palaces were pretty much great, except for the fucking space one. I hate stupid.
What did you think of the so when you finish up to, I think, like December something, because I don't think you cross into the new year in the base game, when you fight the thing on top of the building, what did you think of that ending? Because that's the ending of the base game.
Right. I thought that was cool. I thought that was really cool. The build up to it was great. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I kind of called the villain a little bit early. It was more like, oh, what if this happened? And then it kind of did. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't really call it, but I thought it might happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole story was really good. I really think there's no subtlety in Persona writing. It's all, let's go get those rotten adults. Let's go kill those rotten adults. The adults are evil. Adults are evil. The kids are being taken advantage of by adults. Yeah, there's no, it's like all of the lessons and sort of themes are just so in your face.
Yep.
Like, and in a way not well written, I think, a lot of the dialogue as well. So that part of the ending, I think, like the writing of a lot of the interactions, I think, aren't really interesting, but the plot is fucking batshit insane and in the best way, I think. Mm-hmm. So I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I can feel you on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm skeptical to put Persona 5 Royal in like my top of all time games. It is there, but the only reason I'm skeptical of putting it really high is because the writing is subpar. I just think of Ryuji saying in 100 different ways, "For real? For real?"
With and then the screen tear every time.
Yeah, for real? But I still loved him. I still loved everyone. It's shocking that a game can make me spend 130 something hours and actually want more of it, which Persona 5 Strikers is out, so I'm actually gonna get more of it. So I'm probably gonna order that this week and play that. Yeah, it's definitely worth the time, but for its length, you can tell the same way that Catherine got old, it got a little old in its reusing of the same kind of format, but definitely not as quick as Catherine did.
Yeah, and I mean, gameplay-wise, blows it out of the water.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And I definitely, I know I said like a couple weeks ago that I didn't like the Persona fusion. I've warmed up to it a bit. The menus don't take up incredibly long, but it certainly is like, oh, there's a alarm going at the Velvet Room right now. I have to go back. I have to fuse this persona. I have to merge these personas and like just get level them up bit by bit. Mm-hmm. Like that got a little old. But
yeah,
whenever I was in the mood, it felt good.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like the alarms. The alarms were so hit or miss, and then it was a chance whether or not you were gonna even get what you wanted. So when you're dealing with some of the higher end personas, and it's like, well, hold on, I just lost how much? And I have to pay how much to be able to get that persona back? Just
right.
On a chance, on a whim, and the alarm's out, so now I need to go and find a new alarm, so...
Yeah.
It just gets a little tedious, for sure.
And I'll still never forgive this game for giving you Arsene, if that's how you pronounce mm-hmm. And then you immediately have to turn him into like a fucking tiny snowman fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
It's so stupid.
But then I was kind of reading people who do it like on the replay. They keep Arsene and they level him up entirely and they, yeah.
He's really good.
Kinda neat. Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. What about you, Justin?
I loved it too. No, I haven't gotten super deep in Persona 5. I played through the first one, but what I have been playing, well, actually, I want to mention I was able to secure something last week.
Oh,
dude. Oh. I got
a girlfriend finally.
No.
God, we can't talk
I'm
about
so
that.
Proud.
Come on, what the fuck? Dude, I got my first COVID shot.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot you got that too.
There we
okay,
go.
So I am part of. I am among the elite of this world because not only have I gotten my first COVID shot, but I was able to secure a PlayStation 5, and I
my
did
God.
Not think that those two things could coexist together
in the same week.
My goodness. No, I was with my boss quoting like this super big job, and I got a notification on my phone and it's like PS5's in stock now at Best Buy, and I was like, you know what, now is the worst time for me to get a PS5, so this is probably the one that would actually let me get it. And then I dicked around and actually bought it on my phone, and I actually got it, and I was like,
hell yeah,
dude. But it's I've had so many false positives that I got the confirmation email, they took the money out of my bank account, and I am still skeptical that I'll be able to get this console. Yeah,
until you
like
have it
I'm
physically yeah. between your legs.
Yes, that's the thing. I'm like, I do not trust this until it is mine. And I guess I check status updates, it hasn't changed at all, but it says it should be delivered to the store before Friday or by Friday, so
oh,
we will
snap.
See what happens. But what I've been playing is literally
well, hold on, which out of those two, if you had to take one of those two away,
listen,
which of those would you have preferred to not have happen to you this
listen.
Week
listen which one you're saying which one would I pick to have
yeah which would you pick, COVID shot or PS5?
Now I am a youngin.
If you skip the COVID shot, you can't just get it next week. It goes into scarcity like PS5s.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. People are scalping COVID shots now.
Yep.
You don't get it till next year. Yeah. That's the idea. Well, whatever it is you pick, the other thing you don't get
so
for another year.
Right now, I would say PS5, but I'm sure after I get the PS5, I would say COVID shot.
I feel like I'm just playing the same shit I could have played on my
exactly
PS5.
Yeah, so the hype is real before I get the console, and then I'm sure like a week in I'll be like, dude, the only thing I can play is Demon Souls, nothing else is out yet.
I'm betting money that once you get that PS5 you're gonna play it for an hour and then it's gonna fucking brick.
Don't you put that on him.
We'll see. That first hour is going to be real tense now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be sweating.
Yeah. But other than that, all I've been playing is Dark Souls and fucking Valheim, dude. Mm. I've been playing so much Valheim. I finally got to, you guys saw, I got to this ridiculous boss fight in the DLC in Dark Souls, and I've just been grinding that out. But in fucking Valheim, I had an experience in Valheim. Have you Blake, you've played Valheim, right?
I beat the first boss and then a little bit past that.
What about you, Brad? Have you dabbled at all?
No, I haven't gotten to touch it.
Okay, it's still like I'm still going. I've put a lot of hours in this game. I probably put like 40-50 hours in, and I'm just now getting to the third boss fight out of
what?
5, I think. Yeah, like maybe like 30 hours. It feels like it's longer, but I've probably been doing a bunch of extra stuff. But yeah, 30 hours in, and we were sailing because we have to go really, really far to get to this boss fight. And we were sailing.
Well, how many people are you playing with?
Just I have a server where it's just me and one of my friends, just two guys. And we're sailing really, really far to get to this boss fight. And we see this island. It's just like a tiny island, and it has like weird ores that we've never seen on it before. So we park the boat and we get off and we start mining these ores. And after we mine a couple ores, the island starts growling and then it starts sinking into the ocean. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude. Like, there is crazy shit in Valheim like that. And there was another time when we were sailing on, we were just like on a shitty raft, like early game. Actually, no, it wasn't early game, but we lost our shit really far and we had to get a shitty raft and we were sailing to our destination. And out of nowhere, this big ass fucking sea monster pops out of the ocean and starts fucking up our shit. And that horrifies me. I don't know why, but like sea creatures in deep open waters horrifies me. So
yeah
it reminds me of Subnautica, but it is great. Valheim is, oh, it just keeps going. Oh, and I got fucking Hattress on the Game Boy, which is
my
just
man. What's Hattress?
It is Tetris with hats. Made by the same
yes.
people who made Yoshi's Cookie, and I am now the proud owner of Hattress on Game
How
Boy.
How much you pay for that?
It was like, for a decent copy, I think it was like $16, which is, okay, that's kind of ridiculous, but at the same time, you can
but
do much worse.
But endless hours of Hattress.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't even have to think about it. I just hit that buy button.
I mean, there's Tetris Effect, and then there's Hattress.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Come on. Come on, dude. Not even a question.
Shame.
Yeah, Hattress.
Is it worth it?
Oh.
Is it worth
come
it?
Come on. Blake.
Does it make you want to increase your hat inventory?
Oh, my gosh.
Are there nice hats?
I'll have a fucking massive breakdown on all the reasons you should buy Hattress next week.
So, wait, are you saying you haven't played it?
No, I have. Yeah, it's very, very good. A lot of variety in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you what.
Well, I'm excited to hear all of the different types of hats, what your favorite hat is. Which one would you tip? Which hat would you tip if you ever had one on your head?
They got a really big ass top hat.
Yeah, 'tis probably only one, m'lady.
Yeah.
There's I texted Brad about this. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but one of the Persona 5 characters you have is her persona is called m'lady and in her like all out attack emote she tips her hat, and so her saying m'lady and then ending up tipping her hat, I just think
perfection.
She's on a whole nother level. She's on a
there
whole nother
must
level
be. I'm sure
and yeah, she's the fancy one, she's the gentle woman.
Are there like a bunch of like in jokes inside Persona 5? I'm sure there's like
a
massive
that's a
amount.
Joke. I think she's just the fancy m'lady lady.
Oh,
yeah, I think it literally just had to have lined up. I don't think they're self-aware enough to.
Yeah. I also don't think it's like trying to be a part of that like gentleman
it just
culture
is.
At
no,
all.
Yeah.
I think it just is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just funny coincidence.
Oh, I get you.
Supreme gentlewoman Haru.
I
her
see.
Voice is annoying.
It's so wispy.
It's one of the anime voices that you know is would only ever exist in anime.
Is
yeah.
it like Usa?
Yes.
Oh. Dude, I would not be surprised if I figured out she was voiced by the same person. Usa-san, m'lady-san.
Other than that, I worked on my resume, dude. I'll show you guys my resume. I got a sick looking resume now, but I've been applying to a bunch Ooh. Of different jobs, mostly at Amazon. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, trying to do like a in-house HVAC.
Yeah,
person?
I'm just kind of tired of the service game is rough. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I mean, I might have an in for you, but I might have an in. But I'll talk to you about that
okay.
afterwards.
Okay. Well, I would be. I applied to a bunch of positions, which is essentially working on Amazon machinery inside the facility, and you need experience for that. And I have pretty much what they're looking for, but what I'm looking for, even if because I deal with bullshit now, I'm fine dealing with bullshit. But having consistent 9-to-5 bullshit with benefits, I'm looking for that. I'm fine.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that.
No, especially because they just changed your. God damn it! There's a fucking hole in my.
Dude, I had
right under. It's for airing them out. It lets
yes,
lets your pants get the.
I literally drove. So you get a call. They send me a call, and I'm like, okay, where is this? And it's like 40-minute drive. So you're like, okay, this is already an hour and 20-minute call because 40 minutes one way, 40 minutes back. I spend like 10 minutes there. Customer tells me to screw off, pays me $30. I get 25% of that. So I got like $7.25 for an hour and a half of my life. Like,
bullshit.
Like, yeah, bro, hold up. Like, okay, the thing is, there's a flip side to where it's like, okay, you can make that, or you can make like $1,000 in 2 hours. So it's like you take the good with the bad, but it doesn't make getting the bad any less painful. So
right. And you don't even know if the good will ever come.
Exactly.
Is the problem.
Yeah. So, well,
is there an HVAC job in Bravely Default 2?
I wouldn't be surprised. Is there, Brad?
I want to believe.
Oh, you know what I saw is the HVAC episode in Community.
I haven't seen that.
It's fucking, they're talking about HVAC school. Yeah. And Troy goes to HVAC. I don't watch a ton of Community, but I watched that episode, and I got to say, I went to HVAC school, and it's pretty much the same. It's pretty much identical to what happens
in
that episode.
It's like a religion in Community.
Yeah, it is.
Like, once you go HVAC, you never go back. It's this like, cult that sucks people in.
Spot on. Yeah, for sure. And I was just like Troy, because I was the valedictorian, and it was just... It's history.
Did you
gotta
win
be prideful
the Sunroom
of your trade?
Of course I did.
Okay.
Of course I did.
Okay.
Did I win? Okay. Okay, what else we got? Have we got anything?
I have I bought Fuser. Have you guys heard of Fuser?
Fuser?
No.
On Steam?
It's no, I got it on the PS5.
Fuser.
It's I got it for like half off on the PlayStation 5 store. It's the most recent Harmonix game, the Rock Band folks.
Interesting. What are they? Yeah, what is that game like?
So you're a DJ, but it's not DJ Hero. You basically get a list of songs, and they're broken down into four tracks. Normally the vocals, the percussion, kind of like a guitar and a bass, but those can be interchanged with like electronic strings, whatever's in the song, but it's broken down into four tracks. And it's a better music tool than it is a game, but it's still a fun game. You're basically thrown on stage to do a set, and you can adjust the speed of the song. You can adjust the tempo and the pitch and stuff. And you're basically throwing all these. So you get like up to like 30 songs in a deck, and you're throwing all the different sections of these songs together. So you could take like the lyrics of All Star to like the beat of Bad Guy to like the guitar of Rage Against the Machine, and it actually all fucking works.
Really?
Like, you feel so good. There's a free demo on the PlayStation
Store. It's called
Fuser? Yeah, it's called Fuser. I don't know if I'd recommend it at full price, because like I said, it's a better music tool than it is a game.
What is it at full price?
I think it's 50 at full price.
50. Okay. Yeah.
I think I got it for like 24. But
is it worth it at 24?
I think so. Okay. I'm having fun with it. I'd say if you're really stingy with money, if you have to be, I don't know if it would be, but if you got some money to spend, so far it's pretty cool. If you're a fan of like music and rhythm, but I'm shocked at how much it works and how often it sounds fucking cool. You just throw a random beat in at random times, and it'll be with songs I don't even like, but it'll all just sound fucking sweet, and the crowd gets pumping, and I'm getting pumping, and Tiffany and I are sitting next to each other. We're like, whoa, I can't believe that Old Town Road sounds so good with killing in the name. It's
fucking DJ
cool.
Gilmore. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. And you can queue up songs, and you can do like a beat drop and have all of the records flip right at the beat drop, so it just like goes like, hey, now you're an all-star. Get your game.
That's fucking great.
It's genuinely just fucking shocking. But yeah, I'd say definitely get the demo, because it's worth at least just looking at it and seeing how it works, because it's impressive. And yeah, it's sweet. And you can all do it with control. You don't need any like additional thing. It's
hell
pretty
yeah.
Sweet.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah,
I miss mm-hmm. Guitar Hero. I want my Guitar
Yeah,
Hero
I miss
back.
Just all rhythm games with that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't miss having to pay for the extra stuff, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not. That's why I didn't get any of the recent rock bands. One, because the songs in them are so modern that it doesn't feel like a rock band or a Guitar Hero. But two, they made, like on the recent gens, they made you buy new instruments. It's just fucking crazy expensive.
What is the most recent rock band?
They had four.
Four. That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little while ago.
And then
ago.
They had Guitar Hero Live.
Yeah. Which was an interesting concept. I don't think those games can really exist much anymore because the music nowadays doesn't really lend itself to that. It lends itself more to the Fuser style, where it's just
that's probably why
not
they
a lot of
did
fun
that.
Guitar riffs.
Yeah,
I mean, there's plenty of good like guitar songs and stuff, just not enough to be in like the public conscience that would make worth buying a game for. I don't think
Future's
where people
weird,
look
man.
At the list and go, "Wow, that's a bunch of classics."
Mm-hmm. I'm sure down the line there will be like a new rock band type thing where maybe the instruments are a little cooler, but it has like so many songs and it's like a reboot. But I think that's only possible like a decade from now, if even that.
Well, I don't know, because like when you're playing like the fucking video games, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, like they put new music in there and you're like, dude, this is like, it's like the old shit but new shit, and it's really good. So I really enjoyed that.
I wonder if music rights are getting worse or better. Do you guys know?
What do you mean? Like, are they
like
more
composers?
Strict?
I'm only thinking...
because they're slapping their shit all over, like, Spotify and stuff like
right, that. Right, like it would have been unheard of to have Beatles on Spotify. It was unheard of until relatively recently to have Beatles on Spotify.
I want Nintendo official tracks on Spotify, Nintendo. Why, Nintendo?
For real, though?
That'd be so
for
nice.
For real?
They don't have it.
Screen tear.
The screen tears are great. The style of those screen tears,
oh, they're
no matter what emote they're doing, yeah, it gets me going. I'm just like, oh yeah,
it adds so much
said.
Punch to the scene.
Yeah. Is it Ryuji?
Ryuji, yeah.
For real?
Yeah. For real? Or any chance he gets, he screams that you're the Phantom Thieves. All over the place
in public everybody beach. He talks to, sees, interacts with.
I love being a Phantom Thief. Fucking dumb.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I there's always like I keep saying I want to get more into JRPGs, I want to get more into rhythm games. I think I just want to get more into games, and that's all I'm saying. So I just want to play more games. Which this is really the best time for it. I'm sitting here doing nothing.
Being broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get her done.
You guys been playing anything else? Anything else that come to your mind? Just I saw that you posted the news story about the possible new Switch details.
I don't know how credible that is, but it seemed like a really big one. Like it generated a lot of interest, and it's talking about like a new Switch that has like a new screen. That's like it's cheaper and more efficient or something, and it can handle like 4K gaming. And I'm just thinking, like, is Nintendo, I don't think Nintendo's even gonna like take advantage of that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. My biggest problem is the generational issue of joystick drift, which is going to be prevalent across everything this generation because everyone's getting their joysticks from the same manufacturer.
Right.
Yeah, so
the only thing, because I saw an article, we kind of talked about this through text, I think, talking about how the joystick drift on the PS5 is there, and that article said it's because they get the same as the PS4 did, and apparently it's the same problems as the PS4 had, but I didn't get drift
didn't
on
have
my PS4
problems
controller.
With the PS4 either.
Yeah, I got drift on it literally this last year. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was good for however long.
My controller didn't have drift, but I've had like controllers that had drift that I don't really use very often. So I know it happens.
I wonder if it'll be as bad as the Switch.
Well, how's your PS? Because the Switch, I feel like you have like a 80% chance to get drift on your controllers.
I feel like it's also like, just the size of the hardware and the fact that like it's advertised as portable kind of thing. So your knee moves around, it sees a lot more kind of wear and tear than being picked up, operated with, and then set down. Maybe smashed into the ground here and there, but they're built to last. It's okay.
I've watched, dude, I've literally had, like, my daughter has picked up the Switch by the controllers, and it just, like, slides off and falls on the ground. Like, slides off of the controllers.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but...
I've never had that happen. Maybe she pressed the buttons on the back.
No, I checked it and I'm just like, dude, this shit just slides off. Like, after time, the nubs that hold it in place just get worn down just from constant use.
Dang. So I didn't know that.
There are issues with the console. Dude, I wouldn't mind if Nintendo just went back to the drawing board and released a more expensive version of the Switch. Higher quality. Like,
I mean, that's got to be their thing. I can't imagine them releasing a new console that isn't just an upgraded Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They said, well, Nintendo announced that they are not going to release, like, a Switch 2 unless they can change the game experience. So that's why I'm skeptical of everybody talking about a new Switch. Because, like, I feel like it's been said before and it just hasn't happened. But I don't know. I don't know. I think, if Sony released a competitor to the Switch and they didn't just completely ditch it like they do everything else, I think more people would buy a PlayStation Switch than a Nintendo Switch.
I think they're more in the know as to what hardware they is expected of them, but it would depend how much support they do.
Well, like, dude, yeah. if you could play Bloodborne on your Nintendo Switch, that'd be fucking sick. That'd be fucking sick. Just like games like that. Honestly,
is that possible though?
Yeah,
I don't
Bloodborne,
know.
Well, that's
there.
The thing.
Bloodborne's proprietary on Sony as well. They wouldn't give that up. That's why you can't play it on Xbox 360 either.
Well, no, that's what. Did you know Bloodborne? Bloodborne's coming to Steam.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh wait, no. Wait. I feel like we talked about this.
No, they announced it. Miyazaki
announced
it. I don't
think we talked about Bloodborne.
Oh, okay. That Bloodborne is actually coming to Switch, and that fucking blew my socks off because I was like,
"Wait,
what?
You said Switch or PC?
Sorry, PC."
PC.
Okay. PC. I was gonna say this is a whole. You're
like,
breaking
wait a minute,
news
wait.
Here. your personal dinner conversation with me is on.
Did you hear me? Like, were you watching the stream when I was just like,
yeah.
I'm just like, man, Miyazaki personally consulted me to make sure this game was hard, and he still fucked it up, and it's easy. no, he fucking. I don't know. I want to. There was news. There was a leak about. Elden Ring, which is like the new From Software game,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and essentially the only thing I didn't watch it, but I know that there's horseback riding, but I think that was already understood, so
ooh.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I can be Gyobu Masataka Oniwa as I breathe.
That's that Sekiro boss, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I like Sekiro. Oh.
I don't.
Yeah, I know. Sekiro is an objectively
like
good game.
Sekiro sucks,
it's
man.
It's immaculate, and I think just the fact that you don't like it means you don't have enough high enough IQ. You're not epic enough gamer.
I would rather buy two full-priced HD Skyward Sword remakes than play Sekiro ever again.
Can I have one? I'll take one of those. Don't under the humor is too smart for you to get Sekiro, Blake, so stop.
Just like way over your head, man. It's like yeah it's he's
the Big Bang Theory of video games.
Oh my god.
It's like
dude,
he's a samurai.
Dude, one time oh my god, I really hope my in-laws don't listen to the podcast because they're gonna be super pissed to hear this. No, I gotta say it now. Okay, we might have to cut this, but I want to say it anyway.
All right, that's up to you, buddy.
I had just married my wife, and I moved in with my in-laws. I lived there for like a year before I lived on my own, and I went downstairs and they were watching Big Bang Theory, and they said a joke about they made like a Jewish joke like on the TV, and I am Jewish, and my father-in-law laughed at it, and my mother-in-law like glared over at him and was like, that's not funny, and like looked at me, and then he's like, yeah, you're right, that's not funny. And I thought that was
there's one of them here.
I thought that was so fucking funny, dude. Like,
dominance asserted, this is my house now.
Okay.
That's not bad. Yeah. That's them being courteous. Yeah, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. If anything, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Real quick, I gotta pee. Time code this.
Oh. Are you good?
Watching the tumble of the mic was perfect.
That's 47 minutes. What time do you think he'll be back? How long does Blake do a power pee? Like 3 minutes?
I just wait to write it until he is back.
Place your
His movements can be a little hit or miss.
Dude, he's like the
It looks really neat. It's about a couple, a mother and father who are getting a divorce, and the daughter kind of wishes that they turn into two of her dolls. And so they turn into her dolls and they kind of have to work together to find their way back.
Interesting.
And they kind of, I'm assuming along the way, fix their marriage.
I welcome all those couch co-op games. Please more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Split screen looks really neat. It seems like every area kind of changes the gameplay entirely.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed A Way Out. I'm willing to play that again, even though there's not a ton of replay value, but that's the kind of game, like, you set it down and come back to after a while, you could probably play it
again. It's one of those that playing with someone really is just the reason for it and adds a lot to it.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play Unraveled?
No, but I see it all the time, and I have never played it. Are you talking about the first or the second one?
The first one. I haven't played the second one.
The second one looks
cool. I have a problem.
Cool.
I have a problem with that.
What?
I bought Unraveled 2.
You can't touch it.
I bought it on like a Target thing.
Oh, that's right. Did you ever resolve that?
No, the code's on the receipt.
And
I threw away the receipt. There's no code on the thing you buy. It's on the receipt.
Oh my god.
And I threw it out.
How much did you spend?
And they couldn't figure it out. It's $20. It's stupid.
Dude, get on the phone and Karen it
go
up.
Go beat him up.
Yeah, dude. You gotta...
It's on Game Pass, though.
Oh. So why'd you spend money on it?
Because I didn't know it was. Listen, I don't... things are moving too fast in this world.
No. You can't keep track of everything.
Well, because here it's on the EA Play Xbox Game Pass. So it's on the Xbox if you have the EA version of it. I don't have that. So I thought, I didn't think. And then Tiffany, who I had bought it to play with, was like, I have that. And then I thought, okay, well, I guess that's me buying the game and it's on Game Pass. So we're good.
There you go.
But did you play the first one, Brad?
Yes. It's very fun. it's a fun little couch co-op type thing. I mean, you can play it by yourself, but it's not. Yeah, but you can play the two people together.
Mm.
But it's way more fun that way. Because a lot of the puzzles are way faster and more like interactive.
I thought the second one was co-op and the first one wasn't.
Did I play the second one? I
think with the red and blue
one.
The red and blue.
Yeah.
I thought that was number two.
I might be wrong.
I thought it was called
Someone needs to Google this right now before we're
I'm not in a position to like
hold on. I got you.
I'm not either, Justin. You're the only one.
Unracel, which sounds like a racist incel.
Unracel?
Unracel.
Oh, did you type that
in?
Yeah.
Unravel. Yeah, Unravel 1 does not have the blue dude. And.
Oh, so you play Unravel 2?
Yeah, but Unravel 2 is called Unravel 2. So I thought that. I think Brad might have played the first one, but it doesn't look like you can play with multiple people in the first one.
Well, I definitely played with multiple people. Well,
so you probably got Unravel 2.
There you go. Lesson learned.
Just says Unravel.
Either way,
2.
It was very fun.
Do your research more, Justin. Come on, buddy.
It's like, it reminds me of Kirby's Epic Yarn, but in real life.
Yeah. Because everything, like all the environment and that is very realistic. And then you have the weird, like, cartoony yarn people.
How long was the game?
Not very long.
I would.
There's a bunch of cool like puzzle rooms and challenges you can do on the side that extend it quite a bit more. But the main like story of it, I think, is like 3 or 4 hours, maybe.
I was gonna say, this looks like a 5 hour game. 5-6 hour game.
It was real quick. The puzzle rooms are really fun, though. That was honestly where I got a lot more of my enjoyment of it, other than just like the general movement of it is really satisfying. And there's a couple of areas where you have to move really quickly because there's like either something chasing you or like shit rushing at you. Mm-hmm. So you have like a grapple mechanic, and using the grapple to build up a shitload of speed is very, very satisfying.
Nice.
Well, yeah, I'll definitely.
Tiffany and I played.
Oh shit.
Okay, someone's buddy. At my door. I thought we'd been doing this long enough.
We got it.
Tiffany, I played a bit of Rayman Legends because we had it a long time ago. Oh, and then,
I love Rayman Legends.
That's a really fun one.
It's so good. Yeah, we haven't played it in so long, and now we just booted it back up, and it's just a great game.
Have you done the finales?
Just the first finale is what we got into.
Okay.
It's so cool.
They're the best part of the game. I could do the finales great. Like back to back to back every time.
Awesome. Yeah, because the first one was just so fun.
Yep.
It's just a fun game.
Do you remember
yeah.
what the song was?
Whoa, Black Betty.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Whoa, Black Betty. Yeah.
I really like the finales. Yeah, I really, really like the finale. I think I did
they're
the second so one.
They're so satisfying.
Yeah, they're really good.
We might get DMCA'd there. I sang that a little too well.
It was on point.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I can't let this episode go without me gushing about Fights in Tight Spaces.
Bro,
a little bit, because
there you
please,
go.
Please do.
I was waiting
I have
for it.
So much time in that game. Well, I have 20 hours in that game. It's a roguelite card action game where you're James Bond and you're wiping out dudes. And it's an early access. It's 20 I think I bought it for 22. I think it might be 25 or so. I don't know if it's worth the money because it's early access, and it definitely feels a little early access. But I have not played an action card game like this before, and maybe that's because I haven't played like some of the greats that I'm so hooked on it. The combat feels so satisfying. There are so many like intricacies to how certain guarding and counter mechanics work and how you move throughout the space and set up different actions, because the way you move the enemies causes the other enemies to attack themselves if you line them up properly by the end of the turn. So moving people as you're countering and adding block to yourself and attacking, when it all goes out so well, it feels super satisfying. It's not extremely difficult. It's somewhat hard. I haven't beaten it, but I've gotten somewhat close. I love it. I love it.
You said it had a prologue, right? Or a demo?
Yeah, there's like a prologue demo, which I said was meaty, but I don't know if it's that meaty.
Have you played it?
No, I haven't. Okay. I found out about it after it came out in early access, well, and the demo was out a little while
I
before.
I am downloading that now. Is that this game looks fun. Yes.
Yeah, I'm curious what you think. The style looks really neat. I haven't played a game like it before, like I said, so that's what kind of is keeping me in it.
Have either of you played Slay the Tower?
Slay the Spire.
Slay the Spire.
Slay the Spire. That's the one. I couldn't remember the name, and I was trying to pull up my Steam, but I wasn't logged in, and I didn't want to.
Whenever I think of like card games, that's the one I think of.
Mm-hmm.
I own that, but I haven't played it. I think I got it through Humble Bundle.
I own that too, and I think I own it on Steam and Switch. I played it on Switch, and it gets really hard really fast, but it's so addicting. It is so addicting to play, but like I always feel I don't get that feeling of like one more. Usually when I die, I'm just like, ah, shit. It's really discouraging. Because you feel like you have to work your way all the way back up again, but it's still really fun.
Is that a roguelite as well?
Yes.
That's what I was going to say is what kept me going was the fact that almost every run I unlocked new cards. So then I'd want to get back in, like play around with the new cards.
Yeah, I got a new character and then I kind of put it down.
If there's one thing I'd say about Fights in Tight Spaces is it's more roguelike. You don't unlock new cards. There are multiple decks and you unlock different decks as you go on, but there's just like four base decks and they all have their base cards.
Almost like different characters.
Kind of, yeah, but you're the same guy, just different styles. Like one of them is fully aggressive, which it has a combo and it has cards that kind of build your combo faster, you do a lot of damage. And then there's a kind of a counter offensive guy, which mostly specializes in blocking and counter attacks. And then there's one that's a balance, there's one that's just like weird cards. But aside from that, it's pretty much a roguelike without the light. So I wish there was a type of deck building to it, which there's not, at least at the beginning. But as you go, you buy more cards, you upgrade cards, you get more cards through doing levels. That progression is really fun. But I was thinking of getting into Slay the Spire because playing this, I was thinking, fuck, this is good. But I hear like that's the pinnacle of
it's what a very Slay the Spire. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. Very, very good. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, if I'm into this, then maybe that one, oh boy, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be...
There's a lot of neat stuff you can do in that one, too. Because there's three different characters. And I believe they start with, like, a couple different base decks each. And then you do the same thing. You pick up cards as you go. And there's just a shitload. And then there's, like, passive items you can get that can change, like, just effects of your cards and stuff. And stuff about your hand. Very neat. Very fun. Keeps it interesting.
Cool. Yeah, that and Into the Breach is another big card game, right?
Not card.
No. For some reason I heard that being compared to
it's closer to like a Fire Emblem kind of, but like
gotcha, okay.
More puzzly.
Okay. Must have gotten my details mixed. But yeah, Into the Breach I might make Slay the Spire my game this week. Yeah.
And I also think you would like it, but because it's like okay.
For different reasons.
Yeah, because especially since you mentioned like using the enemy's stuff in fights in tight spaces, if you like move enemies around to injure their allies or whatever it is, that's pretty much entirely Into the Breach. It's like a Fire Emblem turn-based where you're trying to move your guys out of the way of their shots but move them into their own shots or your own shots, or like use the terrain, like you can shove them into water and they'll just drown and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, no, that I see why they compared it to Into the Breach then, because there's like you do damage if you push them against walls. There's certain like windows and doors and balconies that if you push someone off of it, they instantly die, sort of thing. So
definitely,
yeah, I can see that. I can see that why that's a comparison. Yeah, that feels so satisfying when you just line someone up right in front of a balcony and you just kick them and they just fly off and you're just like, oh yeah.
Oh, I'm sure, and especially with that kind of delivery, like in Into the Breach, it's like top down pixelated, so you just watch like the sprite go bloop. It's kind of satisfying, but watching a guy get kicked off the balcony, I imagine, has a little more panache.
Yeah, the ragdoll effects could be really funny as well. The style of it's really cool. It's nice.
Hell yeah.
Look forward to playing it. I'm curious how well it's going to advance in early access. I wonder how it'll do.
What they're going to add in that.
Yeah, they kind of have a roadmap out already, but we'll see.
Hell yeah.
I'm looking at Fights in Tight Spaces, and it looks really neat. I'm excited.
It's fun. It's fun. Yeah. Let me know what you think of that demo.
Yeah. This week, I'm going to finish the Dark Souls boss fight. It is something that I'm going to do.
Just the one. Is that the final one?
No,
or
there's
more?
I need to finish the DLC. I skipped a side boss, but I'm definitely going to try to finish this boss. I don't know. You guys saw like how close I got this. I got this fight. Like I'm like right there. It just...
Then why is he not dead?
Because I want him to. Don't worry about
just,
it, Brad.
You're just
Stop.
Marinating
just...
him. You're just marinating okay. him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Letting him have his moment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What are you guys gonna play?
I'm gonna keep smashing my head into Bravely Default 2.
Is that what it feels like?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, it's one of those things of like I know. The amount of time I put into Bravely Default 1 is well over 100 hours. So, as far as I see it, I'm beating my head against a wall.
Okay.
Well, you can't... I mean, I'm assuming with your injured hand, the only way to press certain buttons is to actually smash your head against the controllers.
No, so. I got, like, good... I have pretty good mobility of my fingies. So, I just, like...
Well, right, but... Sometimes it gets a little sore. You just start hitting the
oh,
A button.
Yeah. Oh, I got you.
Do you know if the surgery is going to make your, like, have less mobility afterwards?
I think so. Probably. I mean, just for the fact that, like, it's going to be a fresh wound type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be reopened back up. So probably kind of back to square one, I'm guessing, and then go from there.
Mm.
But I'll have a big fancy plate in my arm.
Iron Man. Yeah. One step closer to Iron Man.
Yes.
How long are you going to be out of work for, you think?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Exciting.
Because I'm out for 2 months,
bro.
Baby.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Dude, that is... Wow.
That's insane.
That is, like, horrible and nice at the same time.
Right? Yeah. Good thing I live with so many people. My rent is so cheap. Otherwise, I'd be so fucked.
Mm-hmm. That would be rough.
Yeah, but I guess now that I'm on my butt, I'm probably going to play a little bit more Fuser. Maybe we were talking about booting up some more Stardew Valley, because we played that literally over a year ago and we haven't picked up since.
You can get, dude, if you get into Stardew Valley, you can get sucked into that game for the next 2 months. Like, seriously.
Yeah, Tiffany and I played it only for one night, and we didn't really get too into it.
Bro.
The beginning of it's a little slow, I'll agree. Mm-hmm. I'd say give it, like, the first month or two, which realistically, like, in-game, or, like, actual
time-wise,
at most. And okay. I think by that point, you'll know whether or not that game is for you.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, I've always enjoyed, like, Harvest Moon and Animal Crossing and all that sort of stuff, and so I think it's probably going to be for me.
Yeah.
And if Tiffany's not into it, then fooey.
It's like the Animal Crossing style, but you're playing on their time scale instead of them shaping the game around your time scale.
Right.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
I love it. Stardew's great.
And I'm now, with your guys' blessing, I'm definitely going to try out Slay the Spire. Mm-hmm. So
hell yeah. That's, yeah, let me know what one. You think of that
more,
for sure.
A lot more card games. Then, you know, I'm gonna go into Hearthstone. I'm gonna get so into Hearthstone. I'm gonna be a pro Hearthstone player. And let's fucking do it.
Boy.
I think it's time for word of the week.
Yep.
Owie. Ow, owie. My ankle. That's my word of the week.
But bones.
Oh, bones. Bones. I love bones. Oh, that was a really good word.
The TV show, yeah?
Of course.
Yeah.
Dude, why didn't I think of that? Bones. Oh. Bones. My word of the week is break a leg.
That's not funny. I
You can go ahead and follow us over on Instagram at VideoGameSexy, or send us an email over at VideoGameSexy@gmail.com. Our cover art is by Art of Tintin. Our music is provided by Santiago Luna. His Instagram is HitCirclesWithWood. You can find both of our Instagrams on our Instagram at VideoGameSexy.